Possible, but it definitely is doable. Welcome to Draped in Gold. And somehow I am Crop. Let me go fix that real quick. Your one-stop shop for content across the ring and across the pond, talking about NXT UK and NXT 2.0. I'm Global Boys, but you know, I'm never alone. I'm being joined by the man from Spotify, The Ringer, Wrestling Inc., championship wrestler from Hollywood. He is a commentator. He's an analyst. He's an okay guy. Semi, kind of, sort of. He's a big Eddie Dennis fan. I'm not really sure it makes him a good guy. Anyway, real Jack Farmer. What's going on, buddy?
I don't know if I like you having second thoughts about how good of a person I am.
I was going to go for it, but I couldn't lie to myself. So, you know.
Not cool. Not cool.
No, I feel like a jerk.
Here I am. I come in. I'm like, you know what? I am just going to be nothing but love. After all the violence we just saw on NXT UK, I'm going to try to bring some love and appreciation here in the atmosphere. And then you come in with just these barbs.
I was putting you over, brother. I was just saying you did all these things. I just want to stop short by saying you're a nice guy. I don't want to lie to our audience. You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe you. I'm disheartened that on a day where there was already so much violence, you chose violence.
I do. First of all, thanks to everyone right now on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. You are greatly appreciated. If you're on that Twitch, drop a follow. I need to get those numbers up. Let's talk about it. Our main event is all the violence. That's kind of an understatement at this point. It's an empty arena match. You and I were kind of scoffing at it because, you know, there were empty arenas for the past year and a half, like you said, on that Twitter chain. But we had ourselves a war. Ilya Dragunov, Unvazik Var against the Irish Ace Store in Devlin. And there were everything you want. Table moves. There was chops. There was eye gouges, headbutts. Torpedo Moscow. It was everything, baby. Walk me through this one, Jack.
I'm watching this match, and for the record, I just want everyone to remember that I have never doubted Dragunov from the beginning. I've always said that he was going to retain against anyone and everyone that comes after him, so I feel like I'm a little validated here. But I'm asking myself here, watching this match, how do you stop Dragunov? I mean, I look back at the challengers and the people he's beaten. Do you try to outspeed him? No, A-Kid tried that. It didn't work. Do you try to just outmuscle him? No, Walter tried that, and it didn't work. Today, Jordan Devlin said, I'm going to literally hit him with an entire arena, and that did not work. How do you stop Dragunov? Flobo, you are an analytical guy. You understand how to break things down. Tell me, how do you stop Dragunov?
After that is a match, I don't know. When everything was announced, when Annie Shep said the universe was removed, I had all the feels in the world that this was going to be a title change. I never thought of Ilya Dragunov as being transitional, but I was a little nervous for him. But that's the best guess I can come up with. Throw an entire arena at the guy, and he found a way to win with both his hands tied behind his back.
Both hands tied behind his back. And what does he do? He lunges himself head first at Jordan Devlin. The fact that Jordan Devlin, you know, we talk about how he was hitting him with chairs and ring steps and jumping off of everything, but also just beating the hell out of him with his fists. Again, I don't know what you do here. I don't know how you stop him. I'm thinking to myself, maybe someone like a Dempsey needs to tie him in a knot, but I think Dempsey would just pull his arm out of his socket and then Dragunov would keep on trucking. I don't know what you do to stop him. I don't know what there's. He's like some crazy mix of a zombie and Frankenstein. You can do whatever you want to him, but he's going to keep coming up, keep coming after you, and then just tear you to shreds.
I just want to shout out to our German audience out there. I've been saying Unvazik Var for the past 2 weeks. Let me know how my pronunciation is. Well, Jordan Devlin came up short. Seconds, if you will. Does he even attempt to try again? Or does he catch a plane ticket and head over stateside?
I think we're going to learn a lot about Jordan Devlin in the coming weeks because if it was me, I'd be like, man, I just got beat up. I'm not getting anywhere near this guy ever again. And look, I'm not taking anything away from Jordan Devlin. Jordan Devlin's one of my all-time favorites. That headbutt into a brainbuster combo, I thought for sure was it. I thought for sure that was the end of it. But if you're Jordan Devlin, and I know that he is as talented as you can be, I know that he's one of the best, but if you're Jordan Devlin, you got to ask yourself, what do I do? If I'm going to get a rematch, how do I raise the stakes here? And if you're saying to yourself, I can't raise the stakes any higher, then you've got to go find greener pasture somewhere. We're going to find out whether or not Jordan Devlin is someone who would rather seek new adventures, or if he's going to double down and really believes that he can take another battle like the one he just barely survived today.
At work, everyone. Let me stop down for a second, Jack. I mean, look, you and I are fans, I hope, of NXT UK. We've been telling people to check out the brands, and by far, we try trying to find the numbers that the audience for NXT UK is growing, but seems to be very, very small. I'm out of ideas. Like, I don't understand. These people are going out there and killing themselves weekend and week out. But this match may be yet another match of the year candidate, and it's not even February. What's going on in NXT UK? What's in the water in good old London town?
It's incredible how regularly they do this, how often they do this. And you're right. It's incredible how many people just keep saying, I hear they have great matches, but I didn't watch. I don't know why people aren't tuning in to NXT UK. I said it on Twitter today. This week on the docket, we have Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. They're going to collide like two freight trains. We've got Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, about ready to run right into his Shield teammate, Seth Rollins. We've got matches, two of them, that are going to have 30 people in them fighting for the opportunity to have the biggest match of the year. Yet here we sit here stateside Thursday afternoon, and dare I say, we already got the most brutal match of the week. I don't think you can top this. I don't think you can go farther than this. With all due respect to everyone I just named, because I love them to death, but I don't think a human body could survive something more than this. And people are tuning in. I don't get it, Lobo.
I don't. I think it's the devil's in details, you know, and all due respect to AEW, but there was a lights out match, which was also brutal. And a ladder match was also brutal this week on Dynamite, but it was like joint manipulation. It was like eye socket trauma. It was just the small things that make you go, ooh, like that to me was a whole other level. And it just, I don't know what Ilya Dragunov is on, but Jordan Devlin stepped up, because we know Jordan Devlin could have done it, but it's the first time he had a match on this kind of level. It was just fantastic to watch.
And it was, you know, we made fun of it a little bit before last week, going to an empty arena match after having empty arenas for so long. But with this match in particular, there was something about really being able to hear all the collisions that these two went through, to be able to hear them making sounds of agony and pain. You know, Dragunov in particular, just, you could hear the pain he was in. And then when they were hitting each other, you could hear the flesh on flesh contact, or sometimes the steel on flesh contact, or sometimes the mat on flesh contact, just again and again and again. And I think that it was the right call to go empty arena here, to let us really feel like we were right there with them. This was done so well. And look, even if you already know the outcome, if you're watching our show just to see what we talk about on NXT 2.0, it's not too late. Go to Peacock, watch the match, and you will be blown away by the brutality. And Dragunov's been saying brutality for a long time, but this is the era of brutality.
I won't say I had low expectations. I knew the match was going to be great, but I, like you, scoffed at the idea of an empty arena match. But to the production's credit, they made the point of having the match on the screen and like ushered everybody out to the refs, like preparing the ring. It made it feel like it was special, even though we were kind of burnt out by empty arenas by the time the crowds came back. So props to, I'm not sure if that's a production thing or that's like a producing thing as far as like whatever. I like that part too. Made sure the whole match was special for sure.
Absolutely.
But we got to move on, because besides the pain physically, there's that pain right here. Top of the card, The Familia versus Gallus in six-man tag team action. We have said it going into this match. Both teams need a win. Both teams are coming off losses, and I was holding on to the magic, as I like to do that because I'm wearing a Mets jersey. But Gallus was not on top. Wolfgang taps out for the side. The Familia rolls on. I was going to ask you if the right team won, but it seems more and more apparent that the Familia has bigger plans than NXT UK.
They always say pride comes before the fall, and look what happened with Gallus. They got so proud of who they are and what they are, getting in the way of other people's interviews, getting in the way of Dempsey's interviews, and how apropos it was that Dempsey was the one that made Wolfgang tap out in the middle of the ring. Of course, Familia won. They're family. Gallus doesn't understand what it means to be family.
Oh, stop. They're literally family. The Coffey brothers are actually brothers. What are you talking about?
That's only because they were born that way. I mean, real family.
Fine. I will admit that Familia had better cohesion. But you can't deny that Gallus had the strength advantage and the size advantage going in here. I mean, I'm not off base by saying they had a chance of winning this one. No.
Gallus has all the tools. Yeah, they're big, strong, hard-hitting people with a entrance theme that slaps. But
three-handed handshake. I don't know
the three-handed handshake. Oh. We've been saying it for a while. There's cracks. Mm-hmm. They're not the same Gallus they once were. And Tioman, he's someone who's going to see that, and he's going to take advantage of that, and he's going to take those cracks. He's going to pry them open, and he's going to break it apart. And that's why his team, his family, was able to win today, is because he was able to take advantage of all those things. I mean, by the way, let's look at the team he's got with him, by the way. Tioman came in with a lot of promise, and he has delivered on every promise. Rohan Raja, I don't know about you, but he just seems like he's been getting jacked every single week. He seems like he's bigger every time he's on screen.
My Shaw Samuels diet.
Must be. And Dempsey, one of the smartest technicians going in NXT UK, and that is saying something. Someone like him, he does things for a reason, and he joined the Familia because he knows that they are going to rule the kingdom that Gallus has been dethroned from.
Quick question. Is that Familia a complete project, or is more people on the horizon, you think, to join?
If I was in NXT UK, I'd be joining.
You joined everything. Weren't you in Imperium last week?
Imperium like, stateside. That doesn't count. It's a different.
No, okay. It doesn't count. Fine. I see how it is. Yeah. One more thing about Gallus. So I had mentioned this half in jest on the Twitter sphere. I was like, well, I need a whole change of philosophy like you were alluding to. And you whispered Eddie Dennis. Well, let's entertain that because you're weird. Would Eddie Dennis ever decide to take on Gallus and leave Symbiosis? Does that even make sense for the guy who's supposed to be the smartest guy in NXT UK?
I don't know why he has to leave Symbiosis. See, that's the problem with you, Flobo, is you're always thinking either or instead of both. You know, you try to create ultimatums in life, and you try to say it's got to be this or it's got to be something else, but intelligent people, smart people like Eddie Dennis understand that you can always create other options that benefit you more. Why not bring them all together?
So you want to have Gallus and Symbiosis. Will they still be Gallus at that point, or will they all be Symbiosis? Corporate ministry or
Symbialis?
Oh my god, that sounds like a pill. That's ask your doctor about Symbialis.
Side effects may include
death. Okay, fine. I was just upset with this one. I had a feeling this might be the match that made you go changing up the guard, and we kind of got it because the Familia was celebrating backstage, unless they wanted to, and they saw Nate and Frazier there sitting there sulking in their dressing room. And you know, besides being backstage, the one thing to do is not go in other people's dressing rooms. Jack Farmer, what is Nathan Frazier on? Are we going to have ourselves an army battle? Is it going to be a 301 assault? What's happening?
Yeah, you better get in the right locker room if you're in NXT UK. Fights happen all the time for being in the wrong spot at the wrong time. You know, Nathan Frazier, I think he's a good kid, but I don't understand why he didn't just get out of there once he saw the Familia come in. If I saw those three walk into my locker room or walk into their own locker room, mm-hmm. I'd beat feet. I'd get out of there. I'd be
fine. I see how it is.
But what, as far as what's going to happen next, I think right now, one of the reasons the Familia is so powerful is they have choices. They have options. Right now, they could have Rohan go against Nathan Frazier. They could have Dempsey go against Nathan Frazier. They could have Tioman go against Nathan Frazier. They could have Rohan and Tioman go against Nathan Frazier. They could do all sorts of different combinations, but Nathan Frazier has one option, and that's just get out of the way or get run over.
You know, he's just kind of inviting it. I can imagine him talking to the interviewer like, hey, is this like the Familia's locker room? Nah, we're fine. So anyway, my magic is Walter last week. Like, what are you doing, Nate? Get out of there.
He has all their pictures on the wall.
he's squatting in someone's locker room. And stuff.
Can we just say, it feels a little bit like the people that the fans don't like all seem to be the ones that have people invade their locker rooms, you know? Yeah. Jordan Devlin has had Gallus and A-Kid invade his locker room. Now,
pretty nice, though.
Familia is having their locker room invaded by Nathan Frazier. Why can't people just go to their lockers? Why is it so complicated?
And my personal favorite, Isla Dawn conjuring spells in Jenny's locker room last summer. Hey, what are you doing? What?
See, in that case, if I walk into a locker room and someone's conjuring spells, I'm leaving.
Okay, you deserve it.
Yep. I don't get involved in witchcraft.
Jack's getting hexed. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Nope.
Before we get to our women's matchup, we had a preview for a couple of matches down the line. I want to get your prediction in now because we have the finals of the tag team tournament. Jack Stars and Dave Massive are going against my boy. Smith and Carter. I know. You can go either way here. You got cohesive universes, people with pure strength and speed. I mean, who you got?
This is fascinating because on one hand, we have a team that has been together for a long time. They're very cohesive, and they are probably due to get a big win here. But they're also your favorite team, so I don't know if I should pick them.
Wow.
But I like the combination of Mastiff and Stars. I like what they're doing here, but I think looking forward, Carter and Smith are the team that are, like I said, they work together better than any tag team on NXT UK right now. I think their combination of size and speed is second to none. And that's even when talking about Jack Stars and Dave Mastiff. I think because, and when I say that because I think Smith and Carter know how to work together with that combination better than just having the combination, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I bet Mustache Mountain's waiting on bated breath to try to see who would be the weaker team. So I expect them to be ringside or on commentary or something this week.
I think right now Mustache Mountain is breathing a sigh of relief that Pretty Deadly isn't still in this.
Stop. No, they're fine.
I mean, they're probably like, oh, thank goodness. I mean, we may not retain, but at least we have a chance.
Why do you do this to me? Why? What's with this propaganda? Why?
It's not propaganda. It's just, look, when you've got the greatest tag team in NXT UK history sitting on the sidelines because they didn't get a rematch when they should have gotten a rematch, you have to call it. It's calling it right down the middle. It's calling it fair and square.
If Pretty Deadly is the best of all time, should Eddie Dennis be recruiting those guys instead of Gallus?
Well, Eddie Dennis likes to keep competition fun. You know,
he
likes parody. He likes the idea that they're, you know, he doesn't want it to be top heavy.
Right. What a benevolent man, Eddie Dennis.
He is.
I hate this. Our last match was a little bit of a mirror match on some levels. Jenny and Amel have very similar backgrounds, both children of immigrants, both apply their craft in the professional wrestling business, but it definitely seems that these two entities couldn't be more different. The match went the way of Jenny with a little bit of help from the ropes. Jack, I don't tell me she didn't cheat. She totally cheated this week to get the win over Amel.
This was a match that was kind of tough to watch because, you know, I'm a fan of both of these two. I love them both. I'm a big fan of both of them. And it was really hard to watch knowing that I like both of them and wanting them both to win. But this is one of those shows I talk about all the time. I got to call it down the middle. I got to be fair. I can't.
You never are fair. I can't
waffle on what
you
I
waffle
want.
Waffle everything.
So, I am going to tell you exactly how I.
You just waffle the tag
teams. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you what I'm thinking right now, and I'm going to be crystal clear about this. And when it comes to Jenny versus Amel and how everything played out, I plead the fifth.
What? Come on. Look, you said a month ago, Amel, she is doing so great. She shows us a whole new side of things. That package really changed your perspective on her. She is the French hope. She has a bright future. Did you not?
Yeah.
On the other side, Jenny, you said she's so great. She's top level. She's the fashionista. She worked well with Connors and could do well by herself. Did you not?
Yeah.
So they're together in the matchup. There is definitely a chance for one to win fair and square. And you plead the fifth, brother. How? Why?
Because you always give me a hard time when I say the fans are the winner.
Okay, fine. They're both cop-outs. Put that aside. Who deserved to win today? Let's be honest. Did Amel show out or did Jenny didn't got the win even though the way she did it was kind of superfluous? Superfluous.
I know a lot of people are probably frustrated that Jenny got the win here because right now Amel had all of the emotional support behind her. And again, I'm a big fan of her. Everything you just said, I agree, is true. But when you watch professional sports at the top level, there's an unwritten fact about it. And that is that you got to push the rules a little bit. You got to bend, not break. When you're watching American football, you can see defenders grab on to receivers and try to slow them down. You can see people doing certain things that they're not supposed to, hoping the refs don't catch it. This is one of those times. Did Jenny bend the rules a little?
No, she broke them. She literally put her hands on the rope. That is the wreck on the rules.
A rope break is black and white. A piece of paper in between the yes and the no.
Are you kidding me? It was a rope break.
Bend, not break.
Holy crap. Okay. A rematch seems to be
on the horizon. It was a rope bend.
I can't believe this. Fine. We look at both women. They both are in the, I guess, the middle of the pecking order for Mikel Satomores and or Achille Reyes, Blair Davenport's NXT United Kingdom Women's Championship because they're going to have a match soon. After what you've seen today, if you had to make a ranking then, you can't say the winners, the fans, who would you put above? Are you going to say they're tied? Are you saying they're equal at this point?
Between Jenny and Amel?
Yeah, on the way to being the next contender for the championship.
You've got to stick with the facts. And as much as the fan support is behind Amel right now, and as much as I think we all would love to see her get that title shot, Jenny came away with the win. So Jenny is the next in line after Blair Davenport and Mako Satomura.
I should have known a man as fashionable as yourself would vote for Jenny. Fine. Moving on.
I mean, look, good fashion sense knows good fashion sense.
Are you kidding me? Whose payroll are you on? Eddie Dennis?
I've never been more serious in my life.
It's like Pretty Deli. Are they paying you? Is Eddie Dennis? Are they paying you? Is it Jenny? Are they paying you? Whose payroll are you on? The fans.
The fans' payroll.
Before we move on to NXT 2.0, which had some bangers of their own, man, is any final thoughts about UK this week?
You started at the top, man. This is a show that week in and week out is probably the best pure hour of wrestling going. And I hear so many people talk about how wrestling is important and the matches are important and what they want to see is good wrestlers. And I see people talk about, I don't want to see just flips. I want to see hard hitting action and all this other stuff. This is exactly what NXT UK is. And it's on Peacock every single week here in the United States on Thursday. Watch the show. Quit saying I need to check it out. Quit saying I should check it out. Quit saying I'm going to check it out. Turn it on. It's on right now. You can watch it literally anytime. It's streaming. It's the future. Quit making excuses. Tune in. You're going to love it.
First of all, I want to thank Lan for coming through in the chat. I was trying to see how my pronunciation of Umbazikbar went back the last couple of weeks, but I'm with you. This was the first week we got the live streaming, like in real time version of NXT UK, which on one hand kind of bums me out because I like being 10 minutes early than everybody else. But on the other hand, it's cool because you have a communal experience. So yeah, check it out if you haven't already. That match of your candidate. And it's not even February, like I said. It Ilya does something where it kind of has a throwback feel without seeing archaic or throwbacky. I just imagine a time when men grappled and with their fingers and joints. I could feel that through Ilya. It's pretty cool.
I don't mean to circle back too much here, but with that match, was there a part of you, this is me, because building up to this match, I was like, I want to see this match. I want to see them go at it. I want to see them tear each other apart. And then the match starts, and as it's going on, you feel a little guilty that you were pushing for this, and you wanted you were kind of like, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know it was going to get this bad.
Look, let's be honest. NXT UK has a tool at its disposal, and we're in high season. We're in WrestleMania season, and we both know that Jordan Devlin, on some level, is the uncrowned champion for whatever promotion you want. So there was a bit of me that was like, this is worth being a prelude match or whatever they're calling your takeovers now. Getting it up front, I'm like, oh, man, that means they're probably going to waste it or whatever. But you know what? I'd rather them do this with a stipulation and do the clips and people like me share it and evangelize and go, we want to see part two. Because even though, for example, Ilya versus Walter 2, to me, isn't as strong as Ilya versus Walter 1, enough people saw part two going, there was another one? Let's check this out. So, like, yeah. I like you, was like, man, not now. But I'm like, you know what? Why not? Give me it all, baby.
Give me what I want. But
give me what I want.
I felt guilty. They nearly killed each other just so I could watch and have a show to watch. And I was like, geez, these guys are murdering each other. I'm sorry, guys.
And we like the product. Imagine if we were hate watching a show. Jeepers. I'm going to skip our main event for just a second, because I think the most social moment of NXT 2.0 this week came in the first 20 minutes. Dusty Cup action, jacket time, took on MSK to advance in the Dusty Cup Classic Tournament, and I guess took a lot of people by surprise. MSK gets the win, I think because they're cool tights. But people are saying, we want more jacket time. Jack, walk me through this one.
Something I've said for a while about NXT 2.0 is they are so good at creating these characters that are so fun to watch and so interesting, and you can easily latch on to or you can easily hate. I love all this stuff, but it was such a breath of fresh air to get to see these four competitors just get in the ring and tear it up, doing what they do best. This was such a good matchup. Again, I love that they have these characters that are fun to watch, but every now and again, just give me a banger. And this one was a banger. MSK goes on. They could be the first ever Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic dual winners. The jacket time showed that as fun as jacket time is backstage, they are equally as talented in the ring. And I think they definitely earned another shot inside the ropes.
Pop quiz, hot shot. A lot of wrestling fans that like characters aren't featured as much. Talk about momentum, right? Let's get some wins, rack them up. Jacket time, even though they had met before on 2.0, were pretty much iced for weeks without the occasional 205 match. Didn't matter that they kind of had a cold start, even though they didn't win the match. Can this be used to launch another run for them? Or is it kind of like the situation where it's like, this seems pretty random. They showed up, lost, and now they may seemingly disappear again.
I think the future will dictate what happens here in the sense that if they do disappear again outside of the ring and we don't get to see them wrestle again, then yeah, it'll be a cold start kind of random thing. I think they earned another chance to get in the ring. They earned another chance to compete. And if they get to do that, then they're going to continue to develop goodwill. Those two guys are too talented to not continue to warrant an opportunity inside the ring. And as long as they get to keep doing that, then eventually they'll have everything they want because they check all the boxes. They're great. But you're right. I think maybe if they had a little more momentum, I'm a big momentum guy. I talk about it all the time. I think if they had a little more momentum, this match could have gone a different way.
Lamb's already leading to my next question here. Moving on to the other side of the bracket, Grizzly Young Veterans against Bodie Hayward and Andre Chase. And well, Grizzly Young Veterans, I want them to win the whole thing. I actually finally bought one of those scarves that went down in price. But the question I have for you about that match, Jack, as someone as polished as GYV, despite the wing-stealing theft crimes of 2001, 21, and 22, was it interesting or did it bother you it took them this long to dispatch Bodie Hayward and Andre Chase?
Well, right now, similar to jacket time, them just being in the ring felt like a relief. It felt a little bit like those chicken wing days are gone. And it felt like they're getting to go back into the ring and show that they're grizzled, they're young, and they're veterans, and they can win matches. And soon, I think they'll be winning some big title matches and have some big opportunities, I'm hoping. As far as Andre Chase, this guy needs the pat on the back, and all the talk we have about like Tony D'Angelo, of all the talk we have about all these other characters that have surprisingly found themselves finding a way into our hearts. Andre Chase. I mean, this guy, when he debuted, I thought this is a disaster. This is a tire fire. Why are we doing this? We made fun of this guy. We were like, he's he's terrible, but he is so entertaining in that ring. The it's a teachable moment is incredible. I cannot believe he has found a way to make chicken salad out of chicken poop.
Not your mouth. Fair enough. I think the Bobby Knight thing put me off originally, but you can't deny the character work, right?
Right. Exactly. That's what it was, is the Bobby Knight thing. I was going to say that, but I forgot Bobby Knight's name for a second.
I'm throwing this chair at you.
Right, but because we were joking around, that's a reference that's so old and so outdated. But he found a way to adapt it, to change it, and find a way to make this character that should be incredibly annoying and incredibly like stupid into something that you oddly are kind of cheering for, and even cheering for in a way that it's okay if he loses, because it just is another teachable moment, and it's fun. Andre Chase is probably one of the underappreciated success stories in NXT 2.0. And I've said this about characters on AEW before. If pro wrestling had a best supporting actor equivalent award, Andre Chase would be the guy to win that award. It's incredible what he's done.
The most dubious of slammies. The other person in the room backstage promo award goes to Andre Chase.
I mean, when was the last time he was in a segment that wasn't entertaining? I mean, I think it goes back to when he first debuted. But I think now that he's got that momentum going, I think ever since he was in the haunted house with Trick and Carmelo Hayes, I think he's been incredible ever since then, which that's going back to Halloween.
So when I was a kid, one of my favorite wrestlers that I used to get made fun of now as an adult was Duke the Dumpster Drozzy, because I didn't have cable or I didn't go to the events on Superstars and Wrestling Challenge. They featured Duke all the time. And of course, they always won because they're all jobber matches. But I'm a kid. I don't know what those are. If you just watch 205, Andre Chase would go for the strap. He's like one all the time on that channel. Like, he is a star on that sub brand. So you know there's going to be future plans for him. I guess I was a little surprised it took him this long in this match to be dispatched, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're just, you know, waiting the wings to be better.
The thing about these guys, and I know we call NXT 2.0 a kind of a place to develop people, but at the end of the day, they're all professional athletes. They're all incredibly gifted, and even the worst in 2.0 is still good. So it taking some time doesn't matter, I don't think. Plus, sometimes that's the game plan. Sometimes the game plan is wear people down. Grizzled Young Veterans are in it to win it. They're not in it to win it quickly. So I think that's fine. I'm not one of those people that gets bothered by a match taking longer than what I think it should.
As it stands right now, the Dusty Cup next week will be GYV and the Creed Brothers Diamond Mine against MSK and Idris Enofe and Malik Blade. And I'm cracking up because if they win, they're going to ask out Mandy Rose. Jack, kind of early now, but who do you have winning the whole thing?
I'm going with my heart. I'm backing the team that I said I feel like I believe in. I'm a fan of, and that's...
If you played the fifth, I so help me God, if you played the fifth.
Idris Enofe and Malik Blade. I'm a fan of them. I don't know. Again,
I'll take it.
I think on paper, I look at these teams and I would say Grizzled Young Veterans. That's the team I think that stands out as the team, or the Creed Brothers. They're a team. Those are the kind of teams I typically would like, but I find myself rooting for those two. Fan Blade, I find myself rooting for those two, even as they're backstage talking. I think it's funny. I think it's funny that they're, I'm rooting for them. I hope they do ask him out. I hope they say yes. I think it'd be a sweet romance.
Imagine. I saw his promo and he shot a shot. And so I said, yes, it's great. Moving on to something that's a little bit more of a quick hit there, Jack. Duke Hudson returns, had a match against Cool Raj, makes short work of Cool Raj, but Dante Chin comes out and has like the most awkward run in history by saying, I'm going to go down to the ring. Of course, gets chopped block out of existence. What do you make of this? Dante Chin is someone that has a bit of a restart here due to his past issues and injuries. Duke Hudson is also someone trying to get things started again. Are you on board for this particular matchup, or do you want to see these men do other things?
I think this is perfect for both of them, because you're right. Both of them are trying to claw their way onto the onto TV time on NXT 2.0. There's a lot of people trying to get on there, and right now you got to kind of earn your spot. And these are two guys trying to earn their spot and try to earn a place in title contention, earn their place in the hearts of the viewers. And I think right now they're both in a very similar spot in the sense that Dante Chen, like you said, he got hurt. And so we saw him, he got hurt, then he's gone. So he's got to prove that he's durable. He's got to prove he can have these matches week in and week out and that we should get behind him. On the other side, you got Duke Hudson, who is like, look, I'm going to put all my cards on the table. I'm putting it all in. And he lost. And now we have to say he's got to prove to us he's a winner and that we should bet on him. So it's a great it reminds me of, and I mean this with all due respect, it's kind of like the Premier League and relegation. They both got relegated. They got to fight their way back into the Premier League.
I would have died if they gave Duke Hudson the same promo they gave Dante Chen, but he was like, I had to let my hair grow back. My head is not shaped well. Just have it all set.
I have divots.
I didn't know how I could cover. But speaking of someone who's trying to get a start happening, Tiffany Stratton getting involved in a little bit of a conversation backstage, and Io Shirai says, okay, I'll beat you down for it. The match itself, for Tiffany, at least, I thought remarkably improved in her first outing here in NXT, but maybe because Io Shirai is just that good at making beatdowns look like art. Walk me through the match and the fallout. It looks like Tiffany Stratton and Wendy True are on a collision course.
There's actually a lot that happened here. This was another very well done.
Thank you so much, Jacob.
Oh, thank you, Jacob. For people listening on the audio version, Jacob Downey says, you guys are so pro. Sounds like a radio broadcast. Thank you. So let's talk about that comment for a little bit. We are pretty good.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So, well, big Premier League. We are top.
There are so many things to break down about this. I want to talk about Io Shirai first. It is so good. And this seems to be a theme of NXT 2.0 this week. So good to see her back in the ring doing what she does best. People talk about pro wrestling as art, and no one makes it look more artistic than Io Shirai does. I mean, just incredible. She is so gifted in that ring, and it feels like it's just been forever since she's been wrestling. So
yeah,
really good to see her in the ring again, and really good to see her getting wins here. We're also seeing that, you know, her and Zoe Stark maybe aren't as far apart as they used to be. you know, I think when I see them, what I like about that team up is they're very similar to you and me. I'm like Io Shirai. It's like art when I do my stuff, and I'm one of the best in the world. You're constantly trying to win my approval. It's something
I never get it, Jack.
So I liked seeing that. That was fun. But Tiffany Stratton is a star. She's great.
Really?
I think she's so great. Look, first match out, losing to Io Shirai is not a shot against you. That's right. Like your first match against Io Shirai is like playing with house money. Because even if you get destroyed, like, it's Io Shirai. What do you expect? You know, it's like if I have my my first ever boxing match against Tyson Fury, you know, yeah, of course he's going to beat me. Like, that's fine. I can't lose, really. I mean, I lose, but like, no one's going to blame me.
She's 1-1, by the way. Second match.
Who did she beat? Was it on NXT though?
She debuted in December 28th against Fallon Henley. So it's a second match.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm not.
I mean, Fallon Henley, the Io Shirai, the huge.
Yeah, that's a very big difference. But Tiffany Stratton, by the like, she, you can tell she takes care of herself. She's very fit. But she also is just one of those people that every time she talks, she's going to make you feel something about her, whether it's you agree with her or you disagree with her. But I think she's someone that is going to find herself just nails on a chalkboard to enough people that she is going to find herself in fights for titles very soon. I was a big fan of that. Also a fan of Wendy Choo just being like, look, I dress comfortable. Come on. what's the problem?
Fair enough. The thing about Tiffany that trips me out, I know NXT 2.0 is about developmental. She does feel like a work in progress. I'm getting heavy Alexa Bliss vibes, not to compare them because they're two different people, two different movesets, but kind of like you have the tools, but they're not as tight. They're kind of like, You got the Stanley at the speed. You got your dad on the phone all the time for some reason. What does his dad do for a living? We don't know. But I feel like something has to connect. And maybe Wendy Chu, that eventual matchup or feud, maybe the key, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. That's where I think we're going to really see the rubber meet the road in that case of who both these people are. Because right now, Wendy Chu hasn't really done much to show us who she is outside of maybe being a little sleepy. But these are two people that are so different. It'll be fun to see them collide. I think that's where we're really going to get a glimpse of who they are and what they are. Right now, though, I like both of them. I'm excited to see what happens. I think both of these are stock buys right now.
Yeah, and speaking about people they tag with, I know Wendy Chu was in a tag match alongside Persia Parada, was in action this week. The match itself was pretty much standard fare. Toxic Attraction against Kaylee Ray, Indy Hartwell, and Persia Parada, with Persia Parada getting the win over Gigi Dolin. Question I have you about this match. Is Kaylee Ray and also ran an NXT 2.0?
Kaylee Ray, one of my favorites in NXT UK, and it's been a little disappointing that she hasn't gotten more TV time, and it's been a little disappointing knowing she has to resort to destroying things to get attention over stateside because she is so talented in the ring. I'm a little bummed out, though, because I get why she's targeting the champion. You always want to be the champion, and Kaylee Ray is used to being the champion, but right now, Mandy is unstoppable. Right now, Toxic Attraction are unstoppable. They took an L as a team this week, but I think this is a war that Toxic Attraction is going to walk away from as the victors.
Oh, wow. Buying that stock in Toxic Attraction now.
Yeah, it's been going up already, but it's not too late.
How do you feel about that Bron Breakker guy? You know, going toe-to-toe with Santos Escobar in a parking lot, seemingly by himself. That would be the dumb way to lose your money in that stock market until Ciampa came to save us behind. No fight happened in the parking lot, which is kind of a rarity, but what's that make for you? Tommaso Ciampa, the guy that could have hated Braun, coming to his aid against Santos Escobar? Legado de Fantasma? What?
So before the parking lot, Santos Escobar was speaking into the microphone, and it was one of the better promos, I think. A lot of people aren't really going to appreciate just how good what he was talking about was. I think you will, because you're a character guy. You understand this stuff. But I love that he was talking about what his father passed down to him and the traits that his father passed down to him. Because Legado del Fantasma and Santos Escobar are all about legacy and where they came from and where they're going and how he tied that into Bron Breakker and his family and his legacy that Bron Breakker, whether intentional or not, is always going to be tied to in some way. And it was a very clever way to position this rivalry. And it was actually a very cool long-term storytelling, character-based conversation on the microphone between these guys. And I thought that was really, really well done. NXT 2.0 isn't going to get the credit it deserves for something like this, but that was actually very, very well done. As far as Tommaso Ciampa helping out Bron Breakker, it makes sense to me. It makes total sense.
Go on.
It makes total sense to me. Look at, again, who Tommaso Ciampa is. He has a history of having wars with people that he ends up teaming with and then having wars with them again, whether it be Johnny Gargano, whether it be Timothy Thatcher, and now whether it be Bron Breakker. This is actually right in line with who Tommaso Ciampa is.
Blow my mind, Jack. I hate agreeing with you after you defend yourself. Damn, but you're absolutely right. That is his MO. And it makes sense that Tommaso's looking for a fight. And I dare I say this? Those who watch the show long term or in episode 74, I am not the biggest Tommaso Ciampa fan. I say that not to pile on the guy. I'm showing the audience where I am. But I am looking forward to this matchup. Because one, that means Ion Quinn's over with, right? But more importantly, I was thinking about what's going to be next for Bron, because everyone knows what his expectation is. Everyone who's seen the guys told me he's a star, but you don't get to be a star by just saying you're a star. You have to fight, you have to have stories. And I think this is the perfect, I hate to say the word, but the F word, but foil for Bron is Santos Escobar.
You're right. I think Santos Escobar has everything. His strengths, if you're going through the WWE 2K22 checklist, hashtag that, retweet us, baby, of their stats, right? It feels like everything that Santos is great in is on the weaker end for Bron Breakker and vice versa. You know, I think that they're going to have a match where it's, you know, they say styles make fights. And I think that these guys have different styles that are going to make this very, very interesting. And even the tag team match, it'll be a handicap match, it sounds like. But I think even that rivalry is going to be very fun to watch unfold. Bron Breakker, everyone is saying he's a star. He is a star. I'm going to go get that shirt. I think he's that guy that we're going to be talking about in 20 years, the same way we talk about a Randy Orton today.
I'm so excited for my Jack Farmer transition. Speaking of styles, we saw a difference of styles in that Falls Count Anywhere match, a week for brutality in wrestling, and NXT 2.0 does this as well. Solo Sikoa against Boa. Everyone knows I love Boa. Hashtag push Boa. But I was not expecting this. This came out of absolutely nowhere. And Boa was so close to winning the match, Jack.
Don't call out my speaking of transitions.
It's trademarked. Registered.
That's fine.
Speaking of.
I'm a one-trick pony. Don't expose me.
Oh, yeah.
this was really cool to see. These guys beat the crap out of each other. I want to say, I really think that whoever does, I want to say the burn marks on Solo Sikoa look incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't know the way to say it. I think this is very well done. But these two guys, I mean, talk about a match where both guys look better at the end of it. Both of them just beating the crap out of each other. Both of them look great. Both of them, I think, I don't want to be the next person to face one of them because they're incredibly dangerous. They both came off like big bruisers who can do a lot of damage to anyone they're in the ring with. This was great. This was fun. It was, they're two guys who I'm still learning to get behind, if that makes sense. Like, I'm bullish on both of them, but I haven't like latched on, if that makes sense. I know that they're great, but I haven't seen what they've done enough yet to make me feel like they're one of my guys. You know, like I love Cameron Grimes, right? He's great. He's one of my guys. I love him. These guys are still someone who I'm trying to sort of figure out, if that makes sense. If I'm really all in on them, but they both, so I was able to watch it without feeling too emotionally invested and just watch it as a match. And they both blew me away. I liked them both. I want to see them get in the ring with someone else that they can beat up. I don't know who's going to be the person to put down Solo Sikoa, to be honest. I think he's incredible.
You want my prediction?
Yeah.
Bron Breakker. I think after Santos and them go after Vengeance Day, it'll be Solo Sikoa. That'd be the one.
So it'll go, that would mean if we're playing, you know, fantasy armchair booker, it would be Escobar. It would be Sikoa. And then I think it'll be Carmelo Hayes that beats Bron Breakker.
Okay. I'm with that. I think that totally possible and doable. And actually that main event match had some implication for that. It was make a title. We'll get to that in just a second. Cause I got some couple quick hit questions for you. Three of them. Exactly. Just really quick. We finally get the explanation for Gunther over Walter, which I think in the world was serviceable, but what do you feel about this? The idea of why he changed the name from Walter to Gunther.
So I liked it. Was it the most clever? Was it the most elegant? No, but I like that they said why the name was changing. I like that they addressed that the name was changed and didn't just pretend like it didn't change. Mm-hmm. I like that they said, look, I'm changing my name. This is why I'm changing it. Now let's move on. I thought right. It was a smart move. And it makes Imperium. I thought the video was shot well and they all looked like stars. They all look great.
Yeah.
I think if you take away the fact that it sucks that the name changed, like right. Just take away that. Like, I know we're all bummed out about that. For whatever reason, it has to happen. It is what it is. We have to deal with that. If right. That's happening and we can't change it, then I like that they at least did this instead of just insulting our intelligence and pretending like the other name never existed.
Like Doudrop.
Like exactly. I wish actually, Doudrop, they did. I think Eva Marie did say, I'm going to call you Doudrop.
Fair enough. You're right. You're right.
So I think there's a little bit there, but something like NXT UK, they always do really well. Is I loved how Nathan Frazier explained his name change. I loved how Shaw Samuels explained his name
angrily.
I really like how Shaw Samuels.
Who's Ed Harvey?
Ed Harvey. My name's Shaw Samuels.
It's like, okay.
But I like it when you. I like when you don't insult the intelligence of the viewer. And obviously, we all knew. Obviously, everyone was like, what the heck? So I like that they just acknowledged, look, this is why I'm changing the name. Again, it wasn't the most elegant explanation. It wasn't the most clever, but you explained it. I get it. Now we can move forward. And I don't feel like you've insulted my intelligence by making me think, by making me have to pretend I've never seen him with a different name.
Speaking of different names, Sanga is the name of Grayson Waller's new heavy. Thoughts about this? I am not on board, not because Sanga doesn't need a platform or to be heavy. I feel like Grayson Waller was cool without one. In fact, I think the comparisons to Maxwell Jacob Friedman will never cease now he has a bodyguard in Sanga.
I get what you're saying. I'm still neutral on it because it hasn't really, nothing's really happened with it. It feels like there's a lot of heavies in the WWE right now. I know AJ Styles and Omos aren't together anymore, but that was fairly recent. You've got Aziz and Apollo. Now you've got these two.
Trick Williams, Persia Parada.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You've got a couple of these. So it feels a little bit like, okay, we've got a lot of these. Maybe we can not do this as much anymore. But I like that you're giving someone an opportunity on TV. You're giving someone an opportunity to show what they can do. And I think Grayson Waller is just stacking the deck of all the things that make him unbearable. And having a big bodyguard do your dirty work is one of those things that is just unbearable.
Fair enough. Cora Jade being the brazing Chiquita, challenge Raquel Gonzalez to a matchup. Is this going to be her funeral?
Yes.
There you go.
I mean,
goodbye, everybody.
And there's like five people that if you challenge them to a match, you're going to die. And Raquel Gonzalez is one of those people.
As long as we know. Suitman Stone has a new client. His name is Von Wagner and Jacket. Thoughts about this one?
I love this.
Tell me why, Jack.
Perfect pairing. I think that Suitman Stone, Robert Stone, has been one of the more unvalued managers in wrestling over the past couple of years. I think he's so good at packaging his wrestlers in a way that make them just come across like stars. And I think we're already seeing that with Von Wagner. Von Wagner, he's always had the size. He's always had the ability. He's always had everything you're looking for to be that guy, but he just needed someone to make him a sellable package. And that is exactly what Robert Stone can do. Robert Stone's going to open doors for Von Wagner that he would never have been able to open himself. And that's no disrespect to Von Wagner, but look at him. I mean, he was trying on his own. And what did he do? He ended up in a failed tag team for a little bit. He was almost a bodyguard to a GM for a little bit. But now that Suitman Stone is there, the Robert Stone brand is going to be there for him. This guy's got titles on the horizon. This guy's got main events on the horizon. This is a team that's going to be just like we look at Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. We look at MVP and Bobby Lashley, and now we're looking at Robert Stone brand and Von Wagner.
Is that a mic drop emoji, Chris? Don't encourage him. Do not encourage Jack Farmer.
Please encourage me.
I need this. Von Wagner needs all the help he can get. It's kind of a small, narrow-minded thing, and it's a personal thing, so I'm not saying it's a bad. But I like the fact that Suitman Stone was a manager for the ladies division. I thought it was kind of a cool, unique dynamic. I'm not mad with this. Von Wagner didn't really express himself well on the microphone, so I'm glad that he had something to do it for him. So I'm excited. I know eventually Robert Stone and Malcolm Bivens are going to go head-to-head. So that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
And last quick hit for you. Ali J made one of her performances because the NXT 2.0 EP dropped. I'm cracking up not because of her. It's the fact that this EP has five songs and three of them are remixes. I felt cheated, NXT 2.0. You want to give me an EP? Give me more than two songs. Anyway, performance.
So what I liked about this, if we're being honest, it wasn't the most spellbinding performance. But that said, I think the songs, I thought the song was fun. I liked the song. What I liked about this, though, and what I want to give WWE and NXT credit for with her being the pick for the musical artist here is I like that, especially on a brand like NXT 2.0, they're finding the unsigned, like the unknown artists, the new up-and-coming artists. I think WWE in the past has a lot of times gone with these older, staler artists to try to seem cool when it's already too late, if that makes sense. I'm glad that they didn't bring in Kid Rock for this, you know, where you're like, okay, who's this old guy? I like that it was someone new. I like that it felt like they were breaking a new star on their show. I like that they went this way. I don't really know much about her, but now I do. I think that's a smart move on their part. Will she be back? I don't know. Will she be a character? I don't know. But I like the idea and I like the direction they went with her.
That's fair enough. I think I always go with, I knew who Bad Bunny was, but I didn't know who Poppy was. And I guess I was in the latter camp with Ollie J, but she is well known. That was actually our second biggest social media moment of the week after the Jacket Time match.
Yeah. I was actually surprised when you said the social media moment and went to Jacket Time.
You're like, what? Let's talk about our main event, because I am just thoroughly impressed about the pecking order here. Cameron Grimes, I guess Tony D'Angelo, our number one contenders match for the North American title, which has been established as being the A title, with Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes suspended. No, on a platform overlooking ringside. Cameron Grimes gets to win, but not before Pete Dunne gets back involved, gets his revenge against Tony D'Angelo. I don't know about you, Jack, but it seems that on wrestling shows today, in more divisions than not, this is all promotions, that it's kind of hard to define a division. But I can say that without any comparison, the North American title division in NXT seems as defined as it possibly can be.
You know, Carmelo Hayes has been saying for a while that the North American title is the A title on NXT 2.0, and it's becoming hard to argue. And the reason I say that is right now you have Bron Breakker as the NXT 2.0 champion, and he's got Santos Escobar trying to get the title. But I look around at Carmelo Hayes, and right now he's got potential contenders in Tony D'Angelo, in Cameron Grimes, in Pete Dunne. It seems like everyone is gunning for the A title more so than the NXT title. And I don't know if that's because Carmelo Hayes is so good. I don't know if that's because he's so entertaining. I don't know if that's just because he has spoken into existence it being the A title. But it feels like the title that everyone is going for.
Yeah. I will say that the North American title at first felt that way, because we had like Ricochet and Adam Cole, and people can't even mention anymore, hold that championship. But for a while, it felt pretty muddled. It felt like that second prize in NXT. But now these divisions couldn't be more further apart, which is pretty cool. But yeah, now you can pick your pony in this division, which is something I didn't realize I missed in modern wrestling. Usually it's like one contender or contenders match, but it doesn't go five different ways.
Something that I've been saying for a while, that I think Carmelo Hayes is one of the pillars of the future. And I don't mean to overplay the word pillars, the four pillars or things, but I always compare him to a Randy Orton. I know I said Randy Orton earlier today, but I always really compare Carmelo Hayes to a Randy Orton. And I think that he's someone that is going to be a star, not just because he's got the look, not just because he can talk on a microphone, not just because he's good in the ring, but the old saying goes, it's not the title that makes the man, it's the man that makes the title. And I can't remember recently someone who has made a title raise its value as quickly and as much as Carmelo Hayes has risen the value of the A title in NXT 2.0.
Absolutely. Number one with a bullet, Carmelo Hayes is not the future, he's the now. Which leads me to my final question. Cameron Grimes, now the number one contender, Jack, does he take the title away from Carmelo or no?
It's going to be such a fun matchup. I like them both. I think this is still Carmelo's time. I think Carmelo is going to hold that title for a while. In fact, I think that of all the champions holding titles right now, he'll be the last to lose his.
Oh, okay.
In NXT 2.0. So let me pray. I gotta add that part on there.
I didn't do it wrong. Jack, we're at an hour, man, and we covered a lot of wrestling this week. Now it's time for the MVP of NXT. Who's the guy for you? I see kind of a moot point here, but I gotta ask you on NXT, NXT UK, who's the one that made you go, dang?
We all know it's Dragunov. Come on, let's not pretend.
It could have been Devlin.
Let's not act like we got spicy takes here. It's Dragunov with yet another match of the year contender where he nearly died and nearly killed someone in the process. I don't know. Maybe they didn't survive. They still got those injuries, but it's got to be Dragunov with such an incredible defense here.
Jack is like, yeah, Carmelo Hayes is the best. So anyway, Dragunov all day.
Are you going to argue?
I actually want to say the MVP is Jordan Devlin. And the reason being is that Dragunov is so good at what he does. It's a match of the year all the time. Jordan Devlin was coming from the lower ground. He had to step up against Dragunov to really give us that match. A main event like that can do it. It wasn't a win. He lost even with having hands behind his back. But now I know for sure it's not me picking my pony. Devlin is that tier. And that's why he's my MVP. But it's the same matchup. I'm not going to split hairs at this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
A shout out to Karis and Marie. Hey, thanks for rocking with us. Hey. Another edition of Draped in Gold. Next week is episode 75. You got nothing planned. Nothing's really special here. Maybe I'll get someone to a drop or something. I don't know. But before we do all that, Jack Farmer, the world was to find you online. How to go about doing that?
You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm doing all sorts of things with Wrestling Inc., with The Ringer, with Spotify. I'm going to be doing a pre-show with Flobo, The Ringer. Yeah. Evan Mack and Brian Waters and everyone else over at The Ringer before the Royal Rumble on Saturday on Green Room. Make sure to check that out. And then I'm going to be doing the Wrestling Inc. after show right after Royal Rumble. That's right. It's going to be like an 8-hour wrestling day for me on Saturday, but it's going to be fun. It's my favorite show of the year, the Royal Rumble. And this is probably going to be the best Royal Rumble we've had in a long time.
You know, the Royal Rumble is actually my second favorite night of the year, actually above WrestleMania. So it's kind of interesting, but I like the fact that people just get so giddy. But having this Rumble match, it just reminds me wrestling should be fun.
I don't know why you like Great Balls of Fire so much, but...
Look, it just writes itself, man. And it got the song, too. It was great. Balls of Fire, are you kidding me? That's not time to get out of here, but I know Jack is right. We are doing Spotify Green Room. It's a separate app. Download it now so you can be part of the festivities. The Ringer Wrestling Show has been so gracious to have us on the pre-show, and I think they're doing something in the post. Actually, I'm going to be there. I'm also doing the post show, so I'm going to be there all day as well. In the meantime, check me out at Flobo Boys on the social medias. Yeah. But until next time, until next week, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.